Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What is a man, and how do you define manhood? Is it someone who has hair on his chest, is ripped tan, and has bulging muscles? Is it a guy who looks like a fashion model with a killer suit, has a nice job and a steady bank account? Is it a guy who has everything you ever wanted? The nice house, the tech, and all the shiny stuff, including the red sports car? Is a man someone who reaches the top of the corporate ladder, who has power, influence, money, possessions, and lots of women and sex? Is a man someone who is calm, cool, and collected? Is a real man the guy who takes his vitamins, always kicks the bad guy's butt, and saves the day? You know, culture has tried to define for us what manhood is with Hollywood, that if you look like this, then you are a man. That by having certain stuff and accomplishments, then you are a man. That if you have the charm and the conversation skills, then you are a man and the most interesting one indeed. But is that what makes a man? Do all those things define what manhood is? The reality is that these days, even many men are confused about what it means to be a man and what manhood looks like. They may look successful on the outside with what culture deems as successful, with having money, sex, influence, and power. But underneath the surface of it all, many men lack confidence about their masculinity. And the reason why is that in our culture, there are no mile markers or clear pathways that help males to know if they have transitioned from boyhood to manhood. I mean, think about it. When does a boy become a man? Is it when they turn 18 years old or 21 years old or grow older? Is it when they get their first job or go to college or have sex? Is it when they vote or join the military? Is it when they have their first drink or smoke a cigar? Is it when they get married and have children? And the thing that is confusing, especially for men, is that a man can do all these things but still act like a boy. They may have a job but lack the work ethic and integrity to excel and keep that job. They may get married but don't have the maturity to stay married or help their marriage to thrive. They may have kids, but oftentimes they too can act like a kid, getting angry and throwing tantrums when they don't get what they want. They may have degrees and lots of education, but yet still succumb to boyish behaviors, living like they are teenagers. They may have lots of money and possessions, but yet are physically and emotionally absent when it comes to their relationships. And because culture has no model to tell us what a man actually is and looks like, The reality is also that many men are experiencing disappointment with life. When men were younger, they had so many dreams filled with purpose and adventure of all that they would do and accomplish. Many men dreamed of having lots of money, success, a great career, a wonderful marriage, and making a difference in the world. But then once they are grown, many men look around and see that their life is far from what they had imagined, leaving them disappointed with where they are at in life. Many men are experiencing pain. Pain from childhood, pain from an absent father, pain from disappointments and unmet expectations, pain from trauma and abuse, pain from failures or a loss of a dream. And because many men don't know how to talk about it, they just stuff everything and instead focus on things that they can be successful at. But the pain that they carry around affects them and even all those around them. That is why many men are turning to escapes to numb the pain. Because many men are isolated and don't know how to deal with their pain, men turn to things like pornography, drugs, drinking, gambling, video games, sex, hobbies, and being a workaholic. This helps them to cope and keep them from facing their reality and their responsibilities. And because such escapes are present in the life of a man, it prevents men from connecting physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually with their family. Many men are lonely. They can be in a room full of people and still feel like they are unconnected. Even with technology at our fingertips, men can lack having any sort of intimacy in those relationships. Growing up, it was easy to have a buddy that you did everything with and talked with. But as men get older, they end up doing life alone and are friendless and disconnected. Many men are drifting and just reacting to life. Many men are just going through the motions when it comes to life. They go to work, they take care of the family, and then engage in their hobby. They're accomplishing the responsibilities of their life, but they lack any vision for their life. And with no vision, there is no passion, and eventually, the man becomes bitter, angry, and frustrated with themselves, their situation, and with those around them. These are all things that are contributing to the confusion of what manhood is, and it is creating problems for men and even for those around them. Because when men don't have a vision for their life of what being a man looks like, the default for men is to just settle for less. And this includes living for comforts and pleasures at all costs. We see examples of this at strip clubs and bars that are filled with men looking for cheap thrills. Porn sites are filled with men who watch and subscribe to such things. Casinos and online gambling are full of men trying to make a name for themselves by making more money. We see gangs that are full of men trying to find belonging, and prisons full of men who have committed crimes because they had no guidance and no vision for their life. We see men who have kids with multiple women, but yet have no relationship with any of their children. Or men who have children, but yet they put work and even hobbies first because that is where they get their satisfaction and fulfillment from, even to the detriment of their own family. Without a target to aim for what being a man looks like, many men are putting all their efforts towards things that don't matter or have no eternal purpose. And in the areas that do matter, many men are oblivious, and they're absent, and they're passive. Because the reality is that even if a biological male physically grows up and becomes a man, it doesn't mean that they have fulfilled the true godly definition of what being a man actually is. You know, we're in our sermon series called Unsung Heroes. What happens when ordinary people remain faithful to an extraordinary God? And last week, we looked at the virtuous woman and the biblical standard for women to strive for. Well, today we're going to look at various scriptures in the Bible and learn what it means to be an authentic biblical man. Many of the principles from this sermon have been adopted from the 33 series called Authentic Manhood. And if you are a woman who is listening to this, don't check out, because a lot of these principles will even apply to you as well and help you to understand and even encourage the men in your life towards biblical manhood. See, culture is unable to give us a definition of what a man actually is and what they are to do. But God talks about manhood and actually gives men a blueprint of what that looks like. We learn in the book of Genesis that God did two things. He went to work creating and cultivating. He took the formless and empty nothingness and created the heavens and the earth. He created light forming day and night. He created the sky, the planets and oceans, the land, the plants, and all the animals. But then scripture says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created man to be like him, a reflection of him. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave man and woman the responsibility to subdue, meaning to be God's representative who is responsible for bringing what was created under order, under control. And with this responsibility, God gives permission for man to also create and cultivate. To create by having a vision or a dream, and it's bringing that vision and dream into existence. Like starting a business, a nonprofit, a ministry. It is creating a family by marriage and creating children. But man's responsibility was not just to create, but to also cultivate what was created, to lead it, to be responsible for it, to help it to thrive and to flourish. So it's not just getting married, but cultivating the marriage so you develop intimacy with your spouse as you become one, and as she grows and thrives in the things of God. It is being present for her and your children, providing for them materially, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally. At work or with business, it is being a good steward of the resources and finances entrusted to you. It is being honest in dealings and caring for employees under you or that you work with. And it is stewarding all these things by cultivating such things so that it reflects the image of God and gives glory to him. God gave men responsibility and the ability to solve problems and to have purpose because of their relationship with God. But without God, instead of solving problems, what happened? Men created problems. Unfortunately, the first man, Adam, didn't do what God had given him the responsibility to do, which was to create and to cultivate. Instead, Satan comes along in order to tempt his wife Eve to eat from the tree that God told them not to eat from, tempting her to go her own way instead of God's way, to fulfill her own will instead of God's will. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Adam was standing there with Eve in the garden as Satan tempted his wife to do wrong. Instead of protecting her and leading her towards obedience to what God had wanted, Adam just watched as his wife listened to the serpent. But not only did Adam just watch, but he participated in the disobedience. As a result, sin entered into this world, destroying what God had created and cultivated while separating us from Him, from having any sort of relationship with Him. And we see that sin of a man just watching and doing nothing while everything around him crumbles continues even today. Many men are passive and just watch as their marriage crumbles, unwilling to take steps on their end to bring healing and restoration. Other men watch as their kids grow up without direction from God, or watch those around them suffer. Other men say things need to change in the world or in the community, but yet just stand and watch as their communities fall into disrepair and chaos. Adam and Eve's disobedience against God brought sin and pain into the world and into their lives, as it destroyed their relationship with God and also destroyed their relationship with each other. And so instead of their identity, satisfaction, purpose, and fulfillment being solely in God and in His ways, they now chose to look for their identity, satisfaction, purpose, and fulfillment outside of God and outside of His ways. And with their disobedience, they were now aware of their nakedness, and so they sought to cover their sin and shame, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Sin would now affect all that God created and cultivated, and would ultimately bring death to humankind, along with the sense of shame and guilt with it. And because of what they did, Adam and Eve thought that sowing fig leaves together would cover up their sin and make things right with God again, but they realized that they still fell short of God. And although God would punish their sin, God took the initiative to offer grace and forgiveness to them. And this is what God did. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. These garments of skin that God placed on Adam and Eve as a result of their sin required the shedding of blood of an animal to cover the sin. That is why all throughout the Old Testament, the sacrifice of animals was necessary to cover humanity's sinful condition and allow for a relationship with God once again. This would be a foreshadowing of God eventually coming to us as Jesus and being the sacrificial lamb who would die on a cross in order to not just cover our sin, but to take our sin away so that humanity can be made right with God once again. Jesus would be our substitute, and it is Him laying down His life and the shedding of His blood for us, for sin that we caused, that grants us forgiveness of those sins. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In His grace and mercy, Jesus would strip away our inadequate works to gain our own righteousness, and He would be the one that would clothe us in His righteousness. Jesus would die in our place, and He would rise again on the third day, but this would be the promise. Yet, to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And anyone who receives this promise by faith would be freed from their sin, guilt, and shame. Jesus would do for us what we could not do for ourselves, which was to save ourselves. And men would try to sew fig leaves together in order to show the world that they have made it, that they're successful, that they're good with God. But all they're really doing is they're hiding and they're covering up through their own strength and through their own works what is really beneath under the surface, because they are trying to do life ultimately without God. And whenever we try to do life without God, everything that we have built, everything that we have sacrificed for, will eventually end up in pain and chaos. But God's invitation is to stop trying to gain your righteousness with your own good works and fig leaves. Because money, power, position, possessions, all nice to have. But many men are using it to cover all their failings and all their inadequacies because they are trying to be men without the God who created men. Jesus is the only one who can redeem our brokenness and can make beauty out of our ashes. Jesus, based on the life that he lived and the death that he was subjected to, demonstrates for all men what it means to follow God, to die to ourselves so that we can truly live the way that God intended for us as men to live. Jesus would be known as the second Adam. See, Adam failed in doing what God wanted him to do. He followed his own will and his own way. But Jesus is the second Adam because he fulfilled everything that God had intended for humanity and was without sin. He followed God's will and he followed God's ways. The first Adam brought sin into the world, and the second Adam would be the one that would take sin away. The first Adam would bring brokenness, and the second Adam would bring healing and restoration. For if by the trespass of the one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. One man, Adam, brought death, and the God-man, Jesus, brought righteousness. The first man's example is worth rejecting, and the second man's example is worth following. And men, it is only when we embrace God, trust him for our salvation, and learn to follow him as our model for authentic biblical manhood that we become the kind of man that he intended for us to be. And when we learn to follow Jesus, we will understand our role as men to lead in creating and to lead in cultivating. Because it is in Jesus that we will find the direction and the fulfillment that we so desperately need. And the supernatural power to do and live like this can only come from a relationship with God. Everything else we do to try and change ourselves through self-will and willpower and self-reliance, or everything we do to try to make us look better than we really are all just fig leaves. That is why, through a relationship with God, Jesus becomes not only our Savior, but our Lord. And within this create and cultivate mandate, God has given men three areas of responsibility. The first is that God gave man a will to obey. God has made it very clear of what his ways and his will are. And if man can obey it, they would not only find abundant life, but they would live out God's purposes for themselves now and for all of eternity. And every day a man has to choose between following God's way or his way, God's will or his will. God gave man a work to do. God gave man work to enjoy, and that work was not a curse, but that work was to be done in order to create and cultivate as it brought glory to God. God gave man a woman to love. God had given Adam a companion because he said that it was not good for man to be alone. And so man had the responsibility to cultivate intimacy and fellowship with this woman who was entrusted to him. But Adam failed in all three of his responsibilities. He didn't obey what God told him to do. He didn't do the work that God called him to do. And he didn't look out for the woman that was entrusted to him to care for. And in each of these responsibilities, men get to decide if their lives will emulate the first Adam or the second Adam, Jesus. And every man will walk in the ways of one of these men. The first Adam represents selfish manhood, and the second Adam, meaning Jesus, represents authentic biblical manhood. And I talked earlier about what Adam's manhood looks like and the chaos that it brings. Now I would like to talk about Jesus's manhood and a clear definition of what authentic biblical manhood is. It is a definition men can adopt and live out. And it is a definition our sons can learn to be like. It is a definition our daughters and women can have when it comes to looking for a man. And by doing this, we will compare Adam with Jesus. And when that happens, we learn that an authentic biblical man rejects passivity. See, Adam was passive in the garden. We would think that if Adam was there, he would not have allowed the serpent to tempt his wife. In fact, he would have chopped off the serpent's head and killed it. But we learn that Adam was there with her, watching silently when his wife was being tempted. And he not only watched, but he also participated in her disobedience. He was passive, and many men have been repeating what Adam did today. Instead of being present and being involved in the lives of their children, men are just standing there or sitting somewhere focused on work, hobby, or entertainment. Our communities are filled with poverty, injustice, and racism. But yet many men are just living their lives and working hard so that they can escape those realities. This is also why so many churches are filled with just women, because men have given up and become passive to their position of being the spiritual leaders of their family. Because of that, women have had to step up for their families in being that spiritual leader. Many men have been busy fulfilling their own will at the expense of their relationship with God and the cultivation of their own soul. As a result, they end up missing out on what God would have wanted to do in their lives, and missing out on investing in things that matter and that are eternal. And such men are living in the shadow of the first Adam. Whereas Jesus rejected passivity. Scripture says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus saw what needed to be done to reconcile humanity, and he did something about it. He didn't just let the disrepair happen or yell at a TV as to why everything is wrong in this world, but he did something about it. God became a human, and he left the comforts of his home in heaven to become one of us and live among us so that he could stand in the gap and make things right that are wrong. He came to deal with the problem of our sin, and that cost him his life. And because he rejected passivity, all humanity has a way to now be reconciled back to God so that men can learn to live this way as well. And men, there are many of you here today who are living like Jesus, who are rejecting passivity, who have said yes to prioritizing their entire lives around the things of God. And because of that, not only is your life changing, but you are influencing others to see that God matters and that God is also a priority. And because of how you are living, you are focusing on things that matter and you are changing lives along with it. See, the first Adam just stood there. The second Adam, Jesus, did something. And when men live like that, they become an example of the authentic biblical man. So men, In what ways can you reject passivity? What would you need to say or do? The second thing we learn from Jesus is that an authentic biblical man accepts responsibility. Adam failed in the three responsibilities that were given to him. He failed to obey God's will, he failed to do the work that God had called him to do, and he failed to take care of the woman entrusted to him. Whereas the second Adam, Jesus, fulfilled all three responsibilities given to him. Jesus obeyed what his father wanted. Jesus said, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." For men who want to follow in these steps, it is being responsible to lead yourself and to cultivate your own relationship with God so that it influences your character and your behavior. No one else is responsible for your growth in God. It is your responsibility to spend time with God daily. It is your responsibility to come to church regularly and be in community. It is your responsibility to be in a life group and be with others as you grow in your faith. It is not just about having faith, but the responsibility to cultivate that faith. No one else can do that for you. Jesus accepted the responsibility to do the work that was given to him. Jesus said, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." For men, this means being responsible at work, giving your best. It's being on time. It's being a good witness. It is saying that you're going to do something and actually doing it. It is being reliable. It means growing what has been entrusted to you. And this is not just at work, but it also means doing this at church. If you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, then God has given you a mission and a purpose, which is to be a disciple who makes disciples. Jesus accepted responsibility for a woman to love. He sacrificed and died for his bride, the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men who are married are called to lay down their life for their wife and family. This means dying to their own needs in order to protect and help their spouse and family towards the ways of God. Now, some men may say, "What if I'm not married? Can I still be like the authentic biblical man?" Yes, because even single men are to take responsibility for yourself, take responsibility to help solve the problems in your community, and to stand in the gap for those that God has brought into your life. It is loving your extended family and even those in the family of God. And when men accept responsibility, they become an example of the authentic biblical man. So men, what are some responsibilities you may need to accept that will not only improve your life, but even the lives of those around you? We also learned that an authentic biblical man leads courageously. Adam failed to lead the person who was entrusted to him, meaning Eve. Whereas Jesus led courageously by providing direction for others to go in. He said this, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Jesus leads and he expects people to follow him. And in following him, they will lead others as well. Men, can you say to other people, "Follow me as I follow Jesus"? See, many men are leaders, but they are not leaders that are worth following. They may have the titles or the material stuff, but they lack the character that is needed. Men need to lead by example what it means to follow Jesus so that our wives, our children, our co-workers, our family members, our neighbors can see Jesus and know what it means to follow him because of our lives. Lead by having integrity. Lead by serving and putting others first. Lead with initiative, with passion, with conviction to fight for what matters most. Lead by being emotionally vulnerable and saying things like, "I love you and I'm proud of you." It is leading by admitting you're wrong so that you can restore relationships. It is leading in a way so people can connect and relate with you. It is leading yourself to follow Jesus in every area of your life and to help others do likewise. Jesus also protected others. He said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A man is present. He stands in the gap for others. He speaks into their lives. He protects, and he is not afraid to lead. When men follow Jesus' example, we not only experience the abundant life, but we bring abundant life to those around us. And when men live like that, they become an example of the authentic biblical man. And I want to thank so many of the men who are here today who are doing this, who are leading courageously, men who are leading people to Jesus, who are leading in vulnerability, leading with passion, and leading with integrity. And because of your leadership, people who are far from God, people who are hopeless, and people who are aimless are finding new life in Him. This is also true for many of our fathers here who have said yes to leading your family towards the ways of God. We need you, and know that you are making an eternal difference now. So men, in what way can you courageously lead others towards the things of God? And lastly, an authentic biblical man invests eternally. Adam invested in the temporal. He invested in his way and whatever would satisfy him in the moment, which only brought destruction to him and to all those people around him. Whereas Jesus invested in the eternal. Jesus had an eternal perspective and spoke about it, and he demonstrated it. He said to a crowd, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." See, many men invest in the temporal, putting all their efforts and time towards gaining earthly riches or climbing the corporate ladder, all things that don't actually matter in light of eternity. But Jesus encourages us to leverage what we have to serve God and others, because that is what matters and that is what is eternal. Jesus was leading people to use what they had to change lives and the world. And we get to decide, am I going to build my kingdom or God's kingdom? Am I going to focus on just looking out for my interests and loving myself? Or am I going to look out for the interests of others and love them the way that God loves them? Is it loving your spouse? Raising your children in the ways of God? Is it using your time, abilities, resources, and talents to serve others and bring restoration to the community and world that you live in? Is it serving those who are poor, oppressed, marginalized? Is it using the money that God has entrusted to you to invest in building His kingdom instead of yours? That is what it means to invest eternally. You know, when I was in college, I was part of a basketball league, and my teammate Paul wore a t-shirt every time he played that said, "Real men follow Jesus." That always made an impression on me because he was right. The only way we understand manhood and become a real man is if we follow Jesus, not just believe in Him, but die to ourselves and follow Him daily. Many men will try to do this without God and will find themselves only failing because it is impossible to be this kind of man without the Holy Spirit flowing through this man. And it is in following Jesus consistently that our reliance on ourselves gets less and less and our dependence on God gets more and more. And because many men have never been given a target as to what a man looks like, men have substituted other things in order to define for them what manhood is. But an authentic biblical man, a real man, rejects passivity. He accepts responsibility. He leads courageously. He invests eternally. When people ask what a man is, you will never hesitate to answer exactly what an authentic biblical man is. That is a manhood worth living for. It is a manhood worth fighting for. Our world desperately needs better men. Communities, workplaces, churches, families are looking for men that will step up and be present in the lives of others to stand in the gap for them. And know, men, that many of you are already doing this. You are rejecting passivity, you are accepting responsibility, you are leading courageously, and you are investing eternally. So keep doing that as you celebrate what God has done and how you impact the people around you. But also know that there will be areas where God may be inviting you to die to include him into, and to address so that you can look more like Jesus every single day. Plus, this is also meant to be something that is done in community together. Because we need each other in order to become the godly men and the godly women that God had intended for us to be. This cannot be done in isolation. And women, keep cheering on the men in your life. They need you. They need you to be that voice of encouragement as they follow Jesus and live out his purposes for their lives. Just imagine. Imagine a world where men are present and instead of creating problems, they are used by God to solve problems everywhere they go. Imagine children and teens having godly men in their lives that help them to make sense of this world as they become followers of Jesus. Imagine heaven being even more populated because of the way that you choose to live your life for God. And if we can become that kind of authentic biblical man with God's help, God will do immeasurably more than we can all ask, think, or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to come as our perfect example of what a godly man looks like. May we follow you in obedience as you change us to be more like you every single day. And so, God, I lift up men here today and I pray that your spirit and that your grace and that your truth will rest and remain on each one. I pray that you will reveal areas in our lives where we need to reject passivity, where we need to accept responsibility, lead courageously, and invest eternally. May we step up to be a continued reflection of you as you change our lives and the world along with it. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life to save you from your sins and to transform you to be the person that you are meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.